This podcast is sponsored by ValleyGivesBack.org. What will you be remembered for? Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what mattered to you. Making a gift that costs nothing during your lifetime is easy and revocable if things change. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action inspires others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now. Give later. Impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. For in the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. TV sucking ideas from our head. Public discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur.
Hey everybody, welcome to Navel Gazing, the Valley Indies weekly podcast. My name is Eugene Driscoll of ValleyIndy.org, and that's an online newspaper covering Derby, Ansonia, Shelton sometimes, and maybe Seymour if Kurt Miller decides to show up for an interview. My guest today is a longtime friend of the Valley Indy, Mr. David Leonard of Derby, Connecticut. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, and good morning.
So we're here, you're here officially, I guess, in a way, in your capacity as a member of the Derby Fire Department. You're an assistant chief there, right?
Yes, correct.
I'm glad it is written on your shirt. It's the only, did you do that specifically so I would, so you would not know. Mess up the title? Yeah. And then what's your title now in the storm ambulance?
Nothing.
So you're nothing, nothing in the
I'm
storm
nothing
ambulance.
I'm nothing in the storm ambulance, and I jumped ship about 4 years ago now from being the chief of the ambulance corps to being one of the assistant fire chiefs.
But wait, you're still involved in
stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm still a member, but just a member.
I wanted to make sure I didn't miss some type of scandal.
Yeah,
or something.
No. I have no adult responsibilities whatsoever there.
But as we record this on Friday, October 12th, this is my planning and organizational skills.
Yes.
It's Fire Prevention Week.
It is, correct.
By the time this publishes, it'll be over. But it's happening right now. And hey, we can talk about fire prevention anytime.
Year round.
Right?
There's no reason to talk about it for just 1 week.
Right. So you had asked to come on here, and you wanted to talk a little bit about fire prevention, as we did, I think, a year ago.
Yes.
And so let's... Oh, I'm sorry. I just got a
That's okay.
Text.
It happens.
Last year, you had pointed out a bunch of things that were sort of the theme of that year's fire prevention. And I found it really fascinating because it was all stuff I didn't know. Yep. I'm lucky to be alive like when I think about it, all the stuff I don't know. So what's going on this year? And what did Derby Fire Department do specifically during last week's fire prevention?
All right. So, we do our annual visit to the schools. It's always a hit with the kids. We send firefighters some fire apparatus to the different to the schools in the city. And it's something we do. We'll do it for anybody, any community organization. We do, along with just the schools, we do the Boy Scouts, some of the church groups ask us to come, some of the daycares in town ask us to come, and we give our spiel about fire safety. We hit the basics. 911 is the emergency number. Stop, drop, and roll. Don't play with matches. The close your door thing, which was the theme last year. Which I still think is a huge theme.
That's what I didn't get. Yeah, go through that again.
So,
that's what it was.
Yeah, so
I never realized.
Basically,
because all my fire prevention just comes from the Towering Inferno.
Correct.
That didn't work out well for anybody.
Right. I mean, it did. Steve McQueen is definitely still probably the best TV fire chief. That puts him over Travolta, any day of the week. But
he is great in that.
Yeah.
That great scene where it's him at the end with Newman.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
You just keep whatever he says. That's a great line. That's a great movie.
It is a good movie. One of the big themes, one of the changing trends in fires and home fires is we're seeing a rise in home fire fatalities. And the world we're living in is getting safer, yet somehow this one category we're regressing. It's got to do with a lot of factors. And the biggest factor is, 20, 30 years ago, most things in a person's home were made of natural materials, cottons, fibers, fabrics, stuff that are naturally occurring. So it took a little bit longer of a time for those to get burning. So the homeowner or the occupant of the house had a little bit more notice before the fire began raging. Now, if you think about everything in your house, most of it is a synthetic material. It's you know, not made naturally anymore. A lot of them are petroleum-based products or plastics. So the time that you have to get out is dropping. They say that originally you had about 15 minutes from the time the fire started, you know, 20 years ago with the what they call the legacy house to get out.
What does that mean, the legacy?
The older house, the older style. Now they're saying you only have less than five, and some studies pointed down to 3 minutes to get out.
And is the stuff more toxic when it burns?
It is more toxic. It gives off more of an acidic smoke. You know, if you look at the older stuff, the natural stuff, think of like when you have a campfire or like you burn, you know, in your backyard, it gives off that like lighter colored smoke. It's not as dense, where the plastics give off that darker, you know, like black colored smoke. It's much more turbulent.
What does turbulent mean? I'm sorry.
Turbulent. It comes out. It looks nastier.
Gotcha. Right? Okay.
It comes out at a higher velocity.
Remember who you're dealing with.
Sorry. So one of the big things is closing your doors and they to your room at night. It's it was closed before you doze, I think was the official motto, and it's something that I sleep with my door closed. We sleep with our doors closed, and I have arguments with family members who you know constantly keep the door open. And the biggest danger to a person in fire is not the fire. It is the smoke. And most people die because of smoke inhalation and the inhaling of the toxic gases. So if you're, you know, sleeping in your bedroom and you're, you know, picturing in my mind just a standard two-story house, you're up on the second floor, the fire starts on the first floor, you know, the smoke starts building up. And it because your door is open, the smoke and the heat have direct access to your room. By shutting the door, you're limiting the space. You know, the smoke and the heat, the smoke can still get by, you know, the seal of the door. It's not like it's airtight, but it's very, very minimalized. And the closing of the door buys you time to get out. It buys you time for the smoke alarms to do their thing. It buys you time for you to realize there's a problem. And it gives you that advantage over the fire, if you will.
And I mean, this might be a morbid question, but I'm not trying to be funny here.
So we're switching to the Mobile Horror Companion?
That's my other podcast that no one's supposed to know about.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just kidding. When there's a fatality in a fire,
yeah.
Where's the person most likely found? Or like, what's the most common? Are they still sleeping?
They're one of two places. They're most likely found either in a bedroom or in an area by an exit. You know, they almost made it. And that's a very common, you know, theme is that they're near a doorway. They almost made it. So again, you're buying time, and a lot of times that's the time you need to get out.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, yeah. I mean, we teach firefighters that if they get trapped in a fire, to find a room, and the first thing they should do is shut the door to buy them time for us to help them. So it is. I could send you some videos. They recently, the fire department did a great demonstration where they built a fake house and they put two bedrooms in it and they lit the house on fire and they had one door open and one door shut. And
oh, no kidding! Yeah, know, yeah.
And
can embed that.
Yeah, and it is amazing to see how the room where the door was shut, you would barely realize there was a fire, and yet the room where the door was open, you know, is destroyed.
So, gotcha. And what about then? Talking about the current fire prevention week, is there any
this week we're doing look, listen, and feel. If you remember years ago from when you were a child and the fire trucks used to come to your school, we used to do look, listen, and feel for the doorway. This year we're doing it as a whole motto. And basically what we're asking the civilians is to look around their house for fire hazards. And there are, you know, overloaded electrical outlets are one.
I was going to ask about that.
You know, cheap extension cords are another one. A lot of extension cords. People would plug things in and they run the extension cords under the carpeting and it gets pinched by furniture. And over time, you know, the current heats it up and the next thing you know, there's a fire. So we're asking people to look at their homes for you know, potential fire problems. Keeping things too close to your furnace, you should have a 3-foot buffer zone of stuff around your furnace. And, you know, it's one of those that in the fire service we kind of used to – I at least personally used to kind of think like, okay, 3-foot buffer zone, you know, they have that in case there's a problem with the furnace. But who really has problems like that with their furnace anymore? And then you look at the gas incident that just happened in Lawrence, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Where what a nightmare.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't aware, they had a malfunction in the gas system in a community in Massachusetts. It's several towns, it was actually, not just one. But it put high pressure into a low-pressure gas system, which caused over 160 house fires. And it was because, you know, the furnaces became raging infernos. So, you know, little things like that. Again, electrical is probably one of the biggest. You know, candles are always, you know, a concern of the fire department.
The enemy.
You know, yeah.
About like overload, because I look at my house sometimes, and it's like I got the TV plugged in.
Yeah.
Then I got the Xbox. Then I got the Xbox One. I got the Switch. Like, there's the computers. I've got, you know, those power strips. And here, in this office, right. You could probably look at, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
The Aunt Sonia will be here. But how do you know how much is too much?
I mean, you got to read the manufacturer's recommendations on the products. You know, a lot of people nowadays, especially too where we live, everything's old. So, you know, houses don't have the plug every 8 feet like a new constructed house would have. So people are running extension cords everywhere. The cheap extension cords are probably one of the worst things, and those are the ones that you could tell the wire's not very thick, and they usually have like that plastic head that has like two.
Oh yeah, yeah, the, yeah, yeah.
You know, right? Those are
what my Halloween decorations.
Right now. Those are terrible. The shorter power strips are better, but they too have a limit. You know, you can't plug like two space heaters in it and think, oh, we're going to be good here. It's got a power strip, you know. You got to read the manufacturer's recommendations of what should be plugged in, what shouldn't, what, you know. Extension cords are meant to be temporary. That's one thing that if you look at definitions and things, they're meant to be a temporary fix, not a permanent solution.
What about, you know, as a reporter going to fires over the years and then talking to the fire marshals in the ensuing days or weeks, a lot of times you'll hear, well, it was an electrical fire.
Correct.
And I always think like, well, I'm a homeowner. Should I be having an electrician coming and just checking out old wiring? I'm always like, how do you prevent some of these things when they're just these most, random in the wall electrical
right, the
fires?
Most of the electrical fires are, it's not that like you're thinking like, you know, randomly in your wall.
There was a short, you know, right, yeah, yeah.
A lot of times it is the extension cord that's overloaded or the outlet that's overloaded or a problem with a specific outlet. You know, I'm not telling everybody in the valley that they need to run out and get an electrician, but people should know their electrical systems in their houses. You know, if the systems are old or ancient, I mean, we know that there are houses out there that still have screw-in fuses. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't hurt to have someone, you know, check it out. The age of your wiring, I mean, and it's something you'll never know. You know, the house was built. You know, you could have a house that was built in 1920, and maybe the guy put a nail through some of the wiring when he was doing it. And over the years, it just shorted out. It shorts out, and you have a problem with a plug. And again, it is a little scary if you think about it, mm-hmm. because you're like, holy crap, I'm sitting in this house, and at any second, fire is going to shoot out of every wall. You know, and that's not the case. It's usually the overloaded electrical circuit. You know, you'll talk to the person, they'll say, oh, I've been blowing fuses for a couple of days, and then next thing we had a fire.
And those are things so, like a light suddenly
correct.
Going out all the time. Those
yes. You know, it's there's usually some type of indication. You'll have like a problem with the system where you're blowing fuses, you're having a light that malfunctions.
And then going back to you had mentioned furnaces and boilers and stuff like that. You know, I know what I had a new one installed when I bought my house in Derby and Hawthorne Avenue. The old one had come, I guess it was from 1960. It looked like a bank vault. It was cool.
Yep.
But it was like the house inspector was like, you're all going to die in your sleep CO2 poisoning. So we got a new one, and they say to come out every year, but does anybody, I mean, I had the guy come out, and he looked at me like, oh, I don't know, what do you want me to
do?
But like, what safety precautions should be taken to prevent fires other than keeping the 3-foot buffer?
You know,
all
yeah,
the
keeping
way
the 3-foot buffer, again, having it serviced on a regular basis. You know, and we joke because we say that one of the answers to every question someone asks us is, you know, per your manufacturer specifications.
You really got
to
read those.
So
things,
you're really supposed to read them and not just throw them in the garbage like most of us do.
Hmm.
But we recommend that you have it serviced on a regular basis by a certified or a service technician. You know, keep combustibles about 3 feet away. Having a smoke alarm near the unit, too, so if there is a problem, you know right away. Probably, too, the other thing with that is also, especially with furnaces, the biggest problem is our concern is carbon monoxide. So having, you know, carbon monoxide meters in it, we joke this is our carbon monoxide season because the weather's getting cooler, so everyone's turning.
They're all turning on.
Yeah, as they're turning them on for the first time, you know, there's the smell because it hasn't run in a while, and now you get that you know, the smell that comes out of it from all the dust and everything heating up for the first time in a while. And, you know, it's our season for carbon monoxide, but it really, you know, carbon monoxide is just as dangerous as a fire. And having carbon monoxide detectors in where you sleep is extremely important, because you'll have no indication. Not to make light, but at least with a fire, there's warning signs. You know, there's smoke, there's noise, there's light. It gives you a little bit of a warning. With carbon monoxide, there's nothing. So
you start, you just pass out.
You just go
right?
to sleep. You know, in your sleep, you just go to sleep.
That's it.
So,
and I'm amazed at how often you guys go to calls for carbon monoxide mm-hmm. alarms, and which is a good thing, because it's not
correct.
Like, because I had a thing once where mine went off.
Yep.
And I was like, do I call the fire department? They're gonna see all my crap all over my house. You know what I mean? I was self conscious, but what would you tell people?
I always tell everyone to call, and we get a lot of apologies. It's one of the things just recently, we had a carbon monoxide incident in Derby where we had a lady come home, her alarm was beeping. She wasn't sure what it meant, so she called. We got there, we checked it out. It was the battery. It was a plugged in unit to a wall, but they have a battery backup.
That's exactly what, yeah.
And it was the battery. And she was so embarrassed. I am so sorry. I said, listen, it's better that you call us and we come and say, oh, no, there's nothing wrong, than for you to think, the alarm's just messed up, I'll be all right, I'll, you know, not worry about it, and actually have a problem. So we don't mind. You know, that's what we're there for.
I was thinking of my experience. I called thinking it was carbon monoxide, and then you guys came, and I'm like, well, yeah, I don't feel that well. And then my heart rate was apparently through the roof, and there was a concern that I may have been having a heart attack. So you never know.
You never know.
That's your water, by the way. I forgot to tell you.
I didn't know. Free bottle of water with podcast.
No problem. We're nonprofit, but we do what we can. All right, so we talked about that. Are there any trends now happening? I mean, I hate to even say that. Well, like when we first launched in 2009, it seemed like there was a fire in Ansonia or Derby like every other week, like pretty serious fires. Are there any trends happening? That's anything new you're seeing in terms of calls for service or anything like
not
that?
Not really. I mean, we're same amount of calls. You know, the call volume every year statistically goes up. And that's just because, you know, there's more population, there's more of, you know, there's more people out there, and more people lead to more calls. So it's still steady. It's nothing crazy. We average, you know, still our same amount of fires every year. I did do some quick number running last
night.
I'm
sort of amazed how you're able to vamp and talk while looking at your phone.
Yeah, because
I can't do that. I just go radio silent.
Like I said,
that's from two dudes talking
Disney
podcast.
Right, that's what it's multitasking during podcasting. It's you know, so far for the year, the Derby Fire Department has done just over 500 calls for service. We're a little bit busier at this point in the year than we were at this time last year. The 40 or so incidents during the Great Flood a few weeks ago.
That's what you had, September 25th.
Between the 25th and 26th, we had over 40 incidents that we responded to.
Well, let's talk about that day.
Let's
for
talk
a
about
second
that. It's,
all right.
Yeah.
We were talking about it a little bit before we went on, but you were saying you've never seen anything like that.
No,
and you've been literally riding fire trucks probably since
it wasn't allowed, I would assume. It was one of the most unique weather events I've seen come through Derby. I don't remember it ever getting that bad. There are some neighborhoods historically when we have a problem. The Seymour Avenue area around the seasons, winter, spring, summer, fall, in that area, usually you'll get some water. It was much deeper than normal. But the Chapel Street area, New Haven Avenue, Route 34, in the area of the Jeep dealership, I'm showing my age, on time screen.
Oh, right.
We've never had a problem there, and we had a close 34 because of the flooding. Roosevelt Drive, North Avenue, there was a sewer or a storm system on North Avenue where it blew the manhole cover, the
I
heavy
saw that
manhole
towards
cover
towards the
off.
Top Hawthorne Avenue
yes,
side.
And it was coming out like Old Faithful. I mean, it was coming about 6 feet in the
air. It looked like
it
was like
it was
levitating
crazy.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay.
The extremely small stream on Sodom Lane next to the Shagbark Drive overtook the road, which flooded the back parking lot of what was soon to be the Big Y, and actually flooded a car up to the, you know, the passenger compartment. The back parking lot of Big Lots, the Edge Fitness, that little stream turned into a lake. The driveway for Lowe's, the bridges that connect Lowe's to Burger King, one of them almost washed away. It was one of the more unique events.
And then Talmadge. Let's talk about over the field that I wrote a story about that I'm getting some pushback on.
You know,
that's on West Derby or the construction projects. athletic fields behind the middle school?
So basically what happened was once it started raining, we were notified of by our dispatch center. And I happen to have the unlucky coincidence of it was my duty week. So the way that the volunteer fire chiefs work is, since we're not paid to be there, we cover weeks at a time. So we rotate. Oh, okay. So it was my week. So our dispatch center contacted me and they said, hey, listen, we've got a lineup. We're getting a lineup of requests from the PD to help check out flooding. You know, how do you want to start handling this? Because I don't have at that point, you know, I only have 7 vehicles. So I got to start prioritizing, you know, what I want to send what to. So, you know, we started sending apparatus and units to the flooding calls. Then we started getting calls of reports of people stuck in the water, people trapped in the water on Seymour Ave, New Haven Ave. So we diverted a lot of our forces to that. But I got a call that Ryan Field area was flooding very badly. So I sent an engine over there. I started heading over. I mean, it was incredible to see. I mean, you know, the amount of water and mud coming down the hill, you know, rocks the size of softballs flowing down Hawthorne Ave was impressive to see. I mentioned to you earlier, probably the biggest surprise was when we got there, you know, the mayor was already there. He beat us there. He was already there, you know, aware of the situation. And we received numerous calls from Hawthorne Ave, Talmadge Street, E Street, all the way down to Park Avenue of people whose basements were flooding, water coming in. And unfortunately, there wasn't much we could do because there was just so much water coming that, you know.
You just had to wait.
We had to wait till it stopped. So we had to go back to several of the houses after because they had problems with their furnaces, problems with, you know, electrical systems, stuff like that. So we had to return to several of the houses multiple times too.
Yeah, and what triggers, if my basement's flooding, like what can the fire department do? Like, and is there a certain amount of water that's in the basement that you guys?
We have some pumps, the problem is we need about 3 or 4 inches of water for our pumps
to be
effective. You know, anything under that, our pumps are too big to suck up the water. So we require, I don't say we require, and it depends on the situation too. If we only have one call and, you know, we could do more, we'll do more. But in a situation like that, we were going to people's houses and saying, listen, there's, you know, 3-4 inches of water in your basement. We get it, but there's people who have feet of water in their basement and it's approaching their electrical outlets, their furnaces. We've got to, you know, spend our time on those. If it gets worse, call us back.
And were there any injuries that day or?
Well, we had one firefighter injure his ankle walking through some of the water. He stepped into a hole.
Okay.
But it was minor. He was, you know, back on duty within a week. So.
And I mean, looking back, because I mean that day, I live on Hawthorne Avenue. I was listening to the scanner. I could hear like the calls for service coming in constantly. I mean, it was coming in so much. You got to the point you couldn't tell what town it was because there was so much going on. But I took my kids to Archie Morris. I'm like, look, I'm not cooking.
Right.
And I hadn't heard that my kids were actually scared to go out. I knew I couldn't make a left, but I'm like, look, we'll just go down.
Yeah.
We'll go down Anson. We'll be all right. I forgot what I was going to ask you after all that. But, were you surprised, given the amount of water, that there weren't any injuries? Like, was the flow that bad coming in some of these places that you're surprised somebody
We all have pet peeves in life, and I really wish that they would make a law that if you knowingly drive into deep water, like that we could bill you or they fine you. Because the biggest problem is, you have people that some of these spots, the water was coming across the road, and they're driving through it up to the doors of a small car. And it's like what annoys me is at some point I've got to put my people in danger to save your stupidity. You know, and that's what that's where I get, like I said, it's a pet peeve of ours, of mine, because that's how I feel, is that now I'm, you know, we've put up caution tape, we've put up barriers, people drive around them because, you know, they've got to go that way. But, you know, again, the bottom line is at the end of the day, when someone gets themselves in one of those situations, you know, we've got to come get you, and my people got to go in the harm's way because you didn't want to detour around, you know, the block. So,
gotcha.
But thankfully, there was no civilian injuries. There is a water depth, and I want to say it's as little as 6 inches of moving water can move a car.
Gotcha. Okay.
Take much. Yeah, it doesn't take much.
Hey, this is Eugene, most likely interrupting myself to bring you a word from our sponsor, ValleyGivesBack.org. What will you be remembered for? Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what matter to you. Making a gift that costs nothing during your lifetime is easy and revocable if things change. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action inspires others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now. Give later. Impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org. So, all right, so you want to switch gears now? Is there anything else you wanted to add about
that? That's it. I'm good with that. I mean, anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I was going to ask you, just you do another podcast.
I do, yes.
I'm always trying to look out for other podcasts the state of Connecticut. I know there's a stand-up comic in Ansonia who has a podcast, but he's too good for us. I can't get him to come on the show. I put the offer out, but he never got in contact with me. Because I like podcasts. I think it's a great way to convey information. And you do Two Dudes Talking Disney.
Correct. Myself and Tony Bonosso.
Tony Bonosso.
Two dudes.
So you've been doing it for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I think we're going into our second year. You know, we don't do it as much as we'd like. You know, I'm still looking for the grant that gives Two Dudes Talking Disney a full-time podcasting gig, but I can't find one. And it's enjoyable. It's something that we're both very interested in. So we get to do something we like.
So what's some, because you and Tony are Disney freaks. I mean, the parks specifically.
Correct.
You know, stuff like that.
We cover the Disney umbrella. So the parks.
What's new?
Defensive. Yeah. Well, no.
Now it's everything.
Right. I mean, yeah, we cover, Marvel. If you listen to our podcast, we cover, you know, the Disney umbrella. So, which, as you know, Disney is Disney, Lucasfilm, so Star Wars, Marvel, ABC, ESPN. We cover the umbrella of the Disney company.
All right, so I just saw the Solo movie finally. I know this is probably almost a year or or 7 months
late. I actually like talking about the Solo movie because I loved it.
I thought it was fine. I mean, look, the Solo character, he wasn't exactly the most... Harrison Ford.
I loved Lando.
Yeah.
I did. I loved Lando.
Right. They should just do a whole story about him. I get that the Solo character himself wasn't the most appealing or cool.
Right.
You know, although... I mean, I thought the ending was great. Spoiler alert, I won't say it, but
it's been over a year. If somebody hasn't seen it by now, then
you know the way it played into the Han shot first.
Yeah,
like that was awesome.
Right.
Meeting Chewbacca
was great. You know, now you know how the duo came together.
Woody Harrelson was great.
Yeah,
in the movie.
How they got the Millennium Falcon. It was very good.
Yeah, like I don't understand. What's your take on the there was such seemed to be. Maybe it was just the Russians. I don't know.
Right.
Intense
collusion. I don't know. Like I said, I went to go see it on opening night. I was very excited to see it. And I liked it. I loved it. I thought it was a great... I actually liked it better than The Last Jedi.
Me too.
And I don't understand. And as much as funny as it is, as... I don't have the data in front of me because I didn't research that last night because I didn't know we were going this direction.
Yeah, I didn't. But, I just thought of it. Sorry.
It was still a successful movie. It made a lot of money. It just didn't make the money that the Star Wars unit movie.
It wasn't the super blockbuster.
But
I heard that with marketing, it was questionable. It might have recouped its production budget, but not when you factor in all the other costs associated.
Correct.
It might have been a money loser. But I thought
it was a great movie. I thought it was a good popcorn movie. I enjoyed watching it. I bought the DVD when it came out. I watched it again.
And it's it was so refreshing to me to see a Star Wars movie. I mean, I liked Rogue One.
Out of the main storyline.
Yeah, it didn't have that dark pathos that are in all these movies where it's like... I mean, that Last Jedi, all right, Kylo Ren, all right, you know, you're depressed, I get it. But it was nice to have just a refreshing, fun movie. And Rogue One, too. Rogue One, I thought, was
Rogue
a good
One was
movie,
excellent.
But it's a little dark.
Right. I can actually, it's funny, because, you know, I can remember watching Rogue One in the theater, and I remember it hitting me, they're all going to die.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember and thinking, I'm watching a Star Wars movie, and they're all going to die. I mean, it hit you.
Yeah, so, this was nice that it was it doesn't always have to, because there's this whole trend now in all the Marvel movies too where they always have, I mean, I didn't see the, what, Thanos snaps his fingers, that one. I didn't see that one yet. But those also have that dark undertone. Guys. And the DC ones, all
DC
those
DC ones, everything's
ones.
Dark. You can't even see the movie.
Right, yeah, they're literally dark.
Dark.
They're trying to be so depressing. It's like... Dude, this movie's about a guy who wears his underwear on the outside. How dark is that going to be? X-Men, same thing.
Right.
I mean, that's, so anyway, I thought The Solo movie.
I did. I like it a lot, and I feel like it gets a lot of hate, and I don't understand it personally.
Yeah,
because I enjoyed it, and I'll watch it again, and if it's on TV, I'll watch it.
Now, James Gunn, who I mean, I do the Mobile Horror Companion horror movie podcast. So James Gunn is a guy that has been on like horror geeks' radar forever because he started off with Troma.
Correct.
You know, he made gutter exploitation movies. You know, he was known as a horror guy, as a freak, as an offensive freak. You know, whatever he gets, they Sony finds this out, and his corporation kicks him off Guardians of the Galaxy. But now he's going to make DC Suicide Squad 2. Apparently, supposedly is that what it is?
Yeah, I believe it's. I believe again, I don't follow DC as much. It's not in our wheelhouse, but he is supposedly the front runner for the to do the Suicide Squad 2 movie.
What would that get you to go, having him attached? Because he did a good job with Guardians of the Galaxy.
I've seen this, you know, just because we do the Marvel side doesn't mean we don't, you know, crossover. I have no problems with the DC movies. I have no problems with DC in general. I just think Aquaman is my favorite DC character.
Really?
Yeah, okay. And it's funny because Aquaman is just as powerful as Superman, but people make fun of him because he can talk to fish.
It's kind of weird.
Right, yeah. You know, but...
why would you want to?
Right, I mean, but...
the smell alone.
Right. And so, I know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of movie they make, but again, his track record is he makes a good movie.
Yeah,
so.
He makes pretty enjoyable movies.
Yep.
I hope that somehow they can. I want them to get Michael Rooker into that too, because that guy is awesome in everything. And I thought, like, Suicide Squad, that first one, I thought that was one of those movies that had the potential to be a good movie.
To do it. And then
Will Smith is great in it. I'm not a Will Smith fan, but that guy, he's great in that movie.
Yeah.
But then the plot is just incomprehensible.
Right.
Oh, I know what I want to ask you.
Hit me with it.
And then again, we're sticking with DC because I don't know. This is top of mind.
Right.
Ben Affleck as Batman. Like him, hate him.
I mean, here's my take on Batman. I mean, Adam West is always number one. Always. That's right. It's almost like an asterisk. Like when you have the conversation, who's the best Batman? You have to actually take Adam West off the table because he is the best.
He's definitely his own. I'll give
you
that.
Right. So now you look at the who's left. I mean, obviously, judging by our age, you know, Michael Keaton was my favorite because that's where we grew up with the Tim Burton first Batman.
Yeah,
1990. You know, Christian Bale in the Dark Knight trilogy, those were great movies, and I loved every one of them. You know, I had no problems with Ben Affleck as Batman. I would like to have seen Christian Bale continue, but I also feel like it didn't fit. You know, the Batman that Ben Affleck is portraying is a different Batman than Christian Bale was portraying. So
yeah. I'm down with Affleck.
I think Clooney was probably the worst, right? Val Kilmer.
Poor Val Kilmer.
Poor Val. Everyone forgets about him, but, you know.
He's like the George Lazenby of Batman. And now my mind's blank again.
That's right. It's early.
There's something else I wanted to ask.
We've covered a lot.
I know. Venom.
Venom.
I haven't seen it, but the critics are killing it.
The critics killed it, but the fans loved it.
And it's almost like the critics are killing it in a way that makes me want to see it, because I love a good campy.
Right, and they're...
This movie sounds... I read this great review where they said basically it's Tom Hardy falling in love with himself, Venom. It's a love story between his normal character and Venom. Which I just thought, it's subversive.
Right.
Dave's mom is calling.
My mother's
right
calling
now.
Me right now. I know.
Hi, Mrs. Leonard.
She knows we're here. I told her. I said I'll be doing a podcast at the Valley Indy at 10 o'clock.
She probably wants to come on.
Right. Right. It's funny. The first review I read of Venom said that it was as bad as Catwoman.
Wow.
And it did. And I called one of my friends Matt because he's a big comic book guy, and I said, dude, did you see this? And he was like, we were kind of laughing about it. And but the fan reviews have been excellent. The biggest complaint I've seen so far, which I kind of agree with, is there's no Spider-Man.
Yeah, how do you do that?
You know,
yeah,
Venom. Like, for those of you who are not in the comic book world, you know, Venom and Spider-Man are mortal enemies. You know, Spider-Man was Venom. There's a whole bunch of crossovers and all this jazz, but it's you know,
that is strange,
right?
Because it's like they're two sides of the coin.
They're two sides of a coin, and you're not getting it. And it's like that seems to be the biggest complaint. But I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to go hopefully next week. I have Chief Glode jumping back to the fire prevention. We usually take in the comic book movies together. So
who? It's
Mike Glode, Chief Glode.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. We go together to the comic book movies. So
yeah. You know, so what are the big, just to wrap this up too, and I apologize for jumping all over
No problem.
What are the big, the Marvel or the, what's the big movies coming out for Disney, I guess, between now and say the summer?
Again, like you got to get any research time. But for Disney, you got a couple coming up. You got Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Yes, that looks good. That movie looks good.
I'm looking forward to that. I liked the first one.
That's great. Underrated flick.
Yes, there's rumors that in the Disney world, there's always a lot of rumors about the parks, but there's rumors that there's a Wreck-It Ralph attraction possibly coming to Tomorrowland, which I think would be a good fit. And then moving on, off the top of my head, and I may miss one, and Tony's going to be yelling at the screen when he hears me, but Mary Poppins is coming out, the sequel to Mary Poppins is coming out this fall.
The live action one already came out?
Yeah, I didn't know that. It's not live. I mean, Mary Poppins was live action, but...
Gotcha. I'm sorry. The new one with whoever.
Yeah, with Emily Blunt.
And
you know, the trailer looks good. My wife is a huge Mary Poppins fan, so I'll be definitely going to see that. But right now, everyone's waiting for the second half of the Avengers, you know, the next Avengers movie.
That's the big one. That's the one that are on people's...
That's what, you know, Thanos snapped. Half the world is gone. They've tied it all together.
Spoiler alert.
Yep. If you haven't seen it by now, you know.
Yeah, it's available everywhere.
You know, I hate to admit this, but I finally last week just watched Ant-Man and the Wasp. It was one of those that I just...
You know, and is that good?
It was very good. I enjoyed it. You know, the ending kind of tied right in, you know, the extra credit scene tied right into Avengers.
Oh, no kidding.
So it explains, because, you know, like a lot of the problems with the Marvel movies is you're like, well, wait a minute. You know, one of my classic, you know, annoyances in the Marvel thing is you look at Iron Man 3. And I always say Iron Man 3 was probably one of the worst Marvel movies because it doesn't make sense to me. You know, here's Tony Stark who's on version 42 of the suit and nothing's working in it.
Hmm.
You know, and he's fighting, you know, him and War Machine are fighting this terrorist that's kidnapped the president of the United States. Like Captain America obviously must have been on vacation that week. You know, Black Widow was out of the country. Hawkeye was doing an archery tournament. Like where was everybody? You know, and that was one of the big things with this last Avenger movie was you never saw Hawkeye or Ant-Man, and everybody was where are they? Where are they? So this, you know, the Ant-Man and Wasp movie explained that.
Oh, no kidding. So, all right, I gotta check that out.
But I enjoyed it. It was good.
All right, Dave Leonard. Kept you for 35 minutes. I want to thank you for stopping by and for all the support you've given the Valley Indie over the years. You and your family have always been great to us, and in your capacity in the fire department, always very open and transparent, and I do appreciate it.
Anytime. You know that.
See you next time.
Hundreds of years we've brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. TV sucking ideas from our head. Public discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur. Our readers are in the opens each day. Online clickbait, a brilliant way. It's free information here to stay. Not even hookers give it away. Advertising, metastasizing. Newsroom shrinking, constant attrition. We'll ride the dinosaur. We'll ride the dinosaur.